Okay, you guys hear me? So I had this whole speech about how impressed I was that you came to see me over lunch. I mean, it's noon, everybody's hungry. I thought, oh, even with a small turnout, I've got all these people here that are more interested in me than food. But I guess lunch is until 1:15. Okay, so I appreciate the sentiment anyway. At least I thought you guys were out here to see me instead of having food, but hopefully I'll make it entertaining anyway. So lunch is on Spanish time. I like that. So my name's Thomas Fennell. I know it says Saral. I wanted to give Saral some credit because he was meant to come. He was literally about to get on the plane in the morning on Friday and had something else he had to go do in India. So we literally swapped places that day on the flight and I came instead. So I'm doing his session for him. Hopefully I'll do it justice. He's done this before at TechEd in the US. But you got me. My name's Thomas Fennell. I'm a program manager on the same team as Saral. So we're going to talk about notifications today. We're going to talk about quite a bit, actually, the whole range of notifications on the platform, from Tiles to Toasts to the push notification platform. And I've actually got one new thing that you may have seen if you're really into the Windows 10 tech preview, but at least it's something new that I can show that didn't exist when we did this talk in TechEd in the US. So it's a little bit of a teaser for something you'll see demoed that we haven't had before. So with that being said, what types of notifications are there? What do we consider a notification on the Windows platform? Well, first of all, there's Live Tiles. You surely know about this. This is our huge value proposition. I mean, Live Tiles are what really set us apart and make us different from the other platforms. And I've got some examples of Live Tiles here on the screen. This is actually Saral's start screen because he was planning to do the presentation. But you can see it's pretty personalized to him. The one that really cracks me up is the broccoli because I feel like this was his way of telling himself to do better because he really doesn't eat a lot of broccoli. I mean, neither do I, but still. It is personalized to him. It's what he likes, and that's the whole point of Live Tiles. It's his start screen. It makes him feel like this is his phone. Of course, there's Toast notifications as well, and Toasts are kind of interesting. We call it a toast because back in the day, this used to be a pop-up that came up from the bottom of the screen really slowly, and it looked like a piece of toast coming out of a toaster. It's not really like that anymore. I mean, a toast notification has now evolved to mean more something like just an interruptive notification. These are the kind of things that you want to get in front of your users because you want to get their attention. You want them to start interacting with your app. And then after Toast notifications, we've got badge notifications. And there's a couple examples of badges on this screen. There's something like this small badge, and then there's also these kind of larger badges as well. The badge is just kind of anything that you want to represent a count with. And actually, we introduced some changes in badges in Windows Phone 8.1 that even lets you do some icons inside those badges as well. Those are just tags on top of the tile that you want to give some small amount of information inside of with a count or a symbol. And then finally, one of the most interesting types of notifications, which I'm actually going to put some emphasis on today, is a raw notification. A raw notification, as I'm going to explain it today, is about letting you invoke your own code. So letting you wake up something on the device so that you can actually run some code of your own. And you can do that through a push notification. So they go hand in hand. And that raw notification is actually really powerful because all those other things that I just told you about, Tile, Toast, and Badge, you could send a raw notification down first, wake up your process, and do all those through a local notification instead of a push. We're seeing kind of a lot of apps move to this model where they use a raw notification so that they can do processing, maybe update a database, talk back to their server, and then use that same local task to actually update their Tiles and Toasts instead of sending separate notifications. Which is kind of good because actually, if you wanted to send both a Tile, a Toast, or even a Badge, that's technically three separate push notifications that you have to send from the server. But if you were to send a raw, you could just send one notification and do all of those locally on the device. So it's better for you as a developer from your backend services perspective since you only have to send one notification instead of three. So before we get too deep into the details, why should I even use this stuff? Why is this important to me? Why is this important to my line of business, to my enterprise? For one, in the phone world, this is kind of one of your key ways of doing multitasking. Notifications are kind of one of the only ways you can make sure you get the user's attention when your app isn't in the foreground. It's not the same as the desktop where they might be able to have multiple windows open at any time. On the phone, you've really only ever got the one. So to get your app's attention back to the foreground, this is one of the key ways you can kind of do multitasking to bring the user back into your app. On top of that, engagement is driven by notifications. We have lots of data that shows this. Apps that make sure that they keep their Live Tiles up to date or that they send Toast notifications to bring the user back into the app or even to inform them, especially in line of business cases when it comes to something like relationship management, using notifications really, really drives engagement to get people back inside the app. Relationships, again, talking about CRM, Building a relationship through notifications is possible. As a matter of fact, almost every really successful app in the marketplace does build relationships through notifications, not just inform the user. They say, hey, come back. There's something interesting you've missed. You see the pattern in games. You see the pattern in social. You see the pattern in something like informing you that you've got a customer that's got a new need or a new change that they need from you. And then finally, differentiation. Like I said at the very beginning, one of the big premises of Windows and Windows Phone is that we have live tiles and being able to differentiate yourself from the competition. So this is a great way to make sure you differentiate. So what did we do in Windows Phone 8.1 based on what we heard from developers on the platform? Well, we heard people say they wanted one platform. Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8, they were completely different. People said, improve the existing technologies. So we had a system called MPN in Windows Phone, and I'm going to talk about what we did there and how we changed it for Windows Phone 8.1. People said, give me notifications for line of business apps. So I have a slide that talks about the notification support in line of business side-loaded apps, you might call them. Give me better tooling. People said, sometimes it's really hard to test this stuff on production and live environments. I need a better tool to help me do this. Do something in the tooling to make notification testing easier. Notification center. So this is kind of the interesting thing that I'm going to be able to show you today. This is one I'm most excited about. But you know, of course, in Windows Phone 8.1, we did introduce this, so that's not exactly a secret. And then some flexibility. Make it easier for me to do a lot more with notifications, more flexible tiles and toasts than we had before in the past. So let's start with the converged platform. Like I said, Windows Phone 8 uses Microsoft Push Notifications, MPN. That's the core architecture that we use. That's the server that Microsoft owns. That's what you talk to from your cloud to us. Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 used Windows Notification Service. And then finally, in Windows Phone 8.1, we moved to the Windows Notification Service as well. So as of the 8.1 versions of both products, we converged the infrastructure, the architecture, everything together. But if you're already using MPN in your app because you're a phone developer, you don't have to worry. Everything's completely and totally backwards compatible. We call these the .NET APIs sometimes because it's just easier to refer to them that way, or maybe the MPN APIs. It's easier to think of them in terms of what the framework was. And everything that you had there, Microsoft.phone.notification, Microsoft.phone.shell, all the shell tile, shell toast, the notification channel stuff that you had is all still there. So even when you upgrade your device to Windows Phone 8.1, it doesn't change the fact that if you had already written code for MPN, it still works. It just works. It's interesting that it still works because I'm going to tell you in a minute how we actually ripped everything out from under the covers. There is a little bit of magic happening. So even though all those APIs are still there, we took the entire MPN code base on the client and threw it away and replaced it all with WNS. So every .NET MPN call you make is then changed into a WNS call because the platforms are really very, very similar. So making them able to converge down into the lower layer and have one technology was pretty easy to do. Well, I'm sure the dev team wouldn't appreciate that I said that, but at least from a program manager perspective, it was easy for us because we can explain to developers that nothing changes. It's just the same APIs even though we changed the guts. We did do some magic during OS upgrades as well. So if you go from a Windows Phone 8 device to a Windows Phone 8.1 device and you had channels already registered for your application, after the update, they'll keep working. People don't have to launch your app because we didn't think it was right for you to have to tell your users, oh, after the phone update, please go launch the app one time so that you can get notifications. And then finally, what I'm going to spend the next slide talking about is the shim. And the reason the shim is important for people in an enterprise to understand is because we've made a kind of converged point for all notifications to flow through, and that's the place that you're going to need to make sure that you whitelist or you domain or IP whitelist to make sure notifications can flow. So let's take a look at that architecture. So the Windows Phone 8.1 device on the left, you've got your app at the top layer, and like I said, from the MPN perspective, you still got the .NET APIs. You can see that the WinRT APIs are right next to it. I'll talk about that later, but for now, the .NET APIs are still there, and the client platform is underneath of it all. And of course, you have the WNS server. That's our server in the cloud. This is the converged notification server that we're using now. You've got your cloud service. This is where you send the push notification from. And then finally, you've got this thing called the shim that we created. So whenever you need a URI, this is how you actually send the notification down to the device, is through this URI. This is your identifier that you can say, go send to this device. You ask us in the API. We go to the WNS server to get it now. Notice we're not talking to an MPN server in any case here. This is really the WNS server. We get that channel back from the server, And it will do both HTTP and HTTPS. If you're a phone developer using MPN, you're probably familiar with this story. We had both an unauthenticated and an authenticated channel. So both of those continue to work even when your app's upgraded to 8.1 and is technically going through WNS. And then, of course, in step 4, we return that notification URI to your app. And then this is the important part. You've got to tell your server about it. So you get a push URI, and it's for a specific user. And we highly encourage you to associate that URI with a concept of that user. So maybe do something like take the device ID, take some concept of a user ID that you own, hash them, whatever you need to do to make a unique key for that user on that device, and associate that with that URI so that you always know you've got the latest URI for that user on that device, because they might have multiple devices. Or if something changes on the platform, you might get a new URI at some point. And we just want to make sure that whenever you're sending notifications, you're always sending to a live URI. And the only way you really know that is to keep the uniqueness in your server between the user and the URI that you've given them. And so finally, when it's time to send a notification, on the cloud service side, because you were already using MPN, you don't change anything. You do an HTTP post, just like you would before, to the URI that we gave you. But really, under the covers, it's actually going to the shim now. It's not going to the MPN server. It does all the authentication and translation logic. Actually, this thing is really fast. It's basically nothing more than a DNS forwarder. It just kind of shoots it over to the WNS server. And then the WNS server takes care of finding the device out in the cloud, or out in the ether, and sending the notification down to it. So, if you already had client code, don't change it. If you're already an MPN developer, you don't need to move any code around, change any code at all. Everything will just keep working whenever the phone gets upgraded to 8.1. All the .NET APIs are there. Nothing is deprecated. Everything is going to keep working. We did make some behavioral improvements, and these are based on what feedback we got from developers to try and make their lives easier. So there are these methods called bind to shell tile and bind to shell toast. These have kind of been the bane of my existence for a little while. These APIs were originally required so that we knew if you wanted to update tiles or toasts on the device. But what we found was that almost every developer just either forgot to call this at some point or called it in a strange order or tried to also unbind depending on the situation. And there's really no need for this. If you look at the WNS implementation on Windows, they don't have anything like this. Basically, if you want to use notifications, all you need is network. So we basically changed our architecture to be the same on the phone side for the MPN client. You don't have to call these APIs anymore. You can call them. It won't hurt anything. But basically, you're always allowed to send tiles. You're always allowed to send toasts. You don't have to do anything for that. As a result of that, is shell tile bound and is shell tile and is shell toast bound are always true. They just always succeed. In bind to shell tile, so the API that you called to say, I want to send tile notifications, if you wanted to send remote images, we used to make you tell us the list of URIs that you wanted to send images from. And that was a real pain. People did not like the fact that they had to know every URI they might possibly want to get an image from and keep that list updated in their app. As a matter of fact, a lot of times people, again, just forgot to do this. And so we said, nope, you don't have to do that anymore. You want to send tile images down to your client, send whatever image you want. You can keep updating this list if you want to, but we don't restrict it. We don't enforce it. And then finally, the one pattern that changed a little bit is every time your app launches, you're already supposed to do this. You're supposed to check, see if you've got a channel. If you don't, ask for a new channel from us. And so from now on, every time you launch your app the first time, that code path will always get hit where you go find your channel, because we're always going to return null. So you'll always get a new channel every time you open the app. New is a relative term. It might actually be a cached channel, but you will still run through the null path wherever it looks like you don't have a URI, and we'll return a URI to you after you call to get one. So what about the server guys? What do they need to do because we changed the platform underneath? Well, nothing except maybe domain whitelisting. This one's really important. Now, previously we weren't good about this. We actually didn't have a list of IP addresses that you could domain whitelist. We just said, do it by domain, and maybe it looks like star.notify.live.net. The shim actually looks like s.notify.live.net. At least it does right now. It might not always look that way. But if you're the kind of company that domain whitelists, make sure that you do it this way, star.notify.live.net. This is your absolute safest bet, because this top-level namespace isn't really going to change. If you're the kind of company that does IP whitelisting, we finally have a solution for that. And if you're interested in those IPs, let me know. It's on MSDN, but I can help you find them. We have the IPs for the MPN service, we have the IPs for the shim service, and we have the IPs for the WNS service, all fully published. So if you need to know what those are because you do IP whitelisting in your organization, let me know and I'll get you pointed to the right stuff. The one thing that is really interesting that we want to make sure everybody knows is that URIs can be long things. Like, they typically are quite long things, you know, up to many thousands of, a couple thousand characters sometimes. We found an interesting trend in a bunch of apps that were being written that were restricting the length of the URI. So if you do, or if you think you might be restricting your URI length, just try not to. Because right now, our URIs are quite short, but in the future, if we need to add or change features or move things around between data centers, they might start getting longer. If you have a good reason for why you URI whitelist, you restrict the length of your URIs other than the obvious, I want to save database space, just let me know. I'd really love to know what it is, because we've never really fully understood why we found this pattern out in the wild. Okay, that's cool. Thanks for telling me about all the phone, MPN, legacy stuff that I used to have. But what if I want to use WNS? I want to go all in on the Converge platform, and I want to have one code base. What does that mean for me? If you want to use WNS, I call these the WinRT APIs for the most part. Everything that you would use for the WNS namespace is here now on both platforms, on phone and on desktop. We've got windows.ui.notifications. That's most of the UI stuff you do with toasts. Windows.ui.startScreen. That's available for secondary tiles. And windows.networking.pushNotifications. That's the really important one if you want to be able to send push notifications down to the device. All the code just works. The demo I'm going to show you proves this. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is the same code. Even the samples that were originally written for Windows work on phone just fine. I'm going to show you a Converge project in just a second that proves this out, but really, really no tricks this time, guys. It's the same code. So what does the WNS architecture look like? Because I'm going to take you through the steps you need to use WNS, since that's where we think most places are, or most people are going to be migrating to. So again, the WNS server is in this picture as well. Your cloud service, that's where you send notifications from. Same kind of thing. We keep a persistent connection. We're able to return a URI to you. The difference with WNS is that the URIs are always secure. They're always authenticated. There is no unauthenticated channel on WNS. So you're always going to get an HTTPS URI back. Again, you give your service that URI. The difference with WNS is that before you can send the notification, you need to get a token back. You need to actually be able to have a token that you send to the server along with the push notification. This is the authenticated part of the service. So you're basically doing an OAuth exchange here, and I'm going to show you where to get the credentials to do that. Once you've got that token, then you can send the push notification through. That token lasts for 24 hours. Getting that token is really, really fast. You'll get the right kind of response code if the token's expired, and you'll be able to go get it again. All of that's included in the sample on MSDN. Makes it really easy to make sure you've always got the freshest OAuth token. So this is kind of what it looks like on the client side for when you're getting a URI. It's pretty simple. I like to show this slide because when I used to show this slide for phone only, the legacy MPN code, it was like 15 lines of code. In the Converge WNS world, it's create push notification channel for application async. So it's a little verbose, but at least it's only one line of code to get your URI. So you have to use the notifications namespace and the push notifications namespace, get your channel. And then the important part is getting that channel up to your cloud service. So that's that step that I showed you previously about making sure you get it up to your cloud service to be able to send notifications. So this is how you basically would post this notification up to your cloud service, this URI up to your cloud service. You may be doing things very differently, but this is the basic way we see people doing it. They're just going to figure out where their server's at. They're going to do a web request, get that nude up to do a post. Basically encode the channel somehow, whatever way works for you. And then send the post the channel up to your server. Make sure, like I said, that you include some kind of uniqueness along with the channel, like something about the user along with the device ID so that you can always know you've got the latest channel for the user. And then in the step where I said you needed to authenticate with WNS, the OAuth exchange here, it's pretty simple. But before you can do the code, you actually have to go to the dev portal. So you go to the dev portal and you get an app submitted. Now, you don't have to fully submit the app. This doesn't mean that you've gone through the full process. Basically, you just reserve a name for the app. And then once you've reserved the name for the app, you can get the details about the push notifications from it. So you get the package SID and you get the client secret. These are the two things that you need. If you write these down, you'll be able to send push notifications to my phone all night long. So you might want to do that if you're looking for something fun to do later on. This is the really important part in the OAuth exchange, because you have to send these to get that token back. Now, if you're a line of business and you don't really want to publish apps in the store, I totally understand. But for now, this step is still required. It doesn't mean that we will ever, ever publish the app. So you can go and reserve basically a fake name for the app and make sure that you get these credentials back, and you can use that in your line of business application without ever publishing an app in the store. We still need you to do this so we can do the OAuth exchange, but it will work for you to do your line of business apps this way. And that's a fully approved solution. That's not like a workaround. If you want to do WNS today and sideloaded line of business apps, please go do this. We will never take that name away for you. We will always make those credentials valid. So how do you authenticate with WNS? This is a typical OAuth exchange. Sorry. Basically, you're passing in your SID and secret. So they're kind of hard to see, but they're. This is the SID, the long SID that I had, and then that's the client secret. And you're going to get back this access token. So this is the response to the post, and this is what you're going to send along with your notification when you go to post the final notification. So again, the step where you send the push notification, you can see that I have embedded the token here. And then I would just do a typical HTTP post with the payload. In this case, I'm doing a Toast payload down below that I want to send. And there's a couple headers I set there for Toast. The headers are a little different depending on each notification type. They're all on MSDN, so you can see what you should do. Okay. And then once you finally sent the notification, you will get a response of some kind back. For the most part, we hope you get a success response, so basically received. There are other response kinds that you can look up on MSDN. Sometimes you might get a response back that says 404, which actually means that this URI that you tried to send on is no longer valid. That might mean the user uninstalled the app for some reason. It might mean that eventually the URI expired and you haven't refreshed that URI. Anytime you get a 404 back from the push server, throw that URI away. Don't try to keep sending on it. Don't let it rack up any CPU cycles on your servers. If you get a 404, just get rid of it. There's other response codes, too, that might tell you the device is temporarily disconnected. Go on MSDN and look through them. If you've got questions about the individual ones, we can talk about them after the session. There is a pretty robust retry policy. So when like I said, if you get a disconnected response back from a URI, that notification will be held on the server. For up to 30 minutes, we actually hold 150 notifications. So for a half hour, you've got really a pretty big buffer of notifications that can be stored up on the server. After half an hour, for about 14 days, we'll store 5 Toast notifications, 1 tile or 1 raw notification, and 5 tile notifications. And we'll store that for about 2 weeks. For the most part, 2 weeks seems like a pretty good amount of time. After that, things get stale. And that cache policy is basically first in, first out. So the oldest stuff gets thrown away. If you fill up the 5 queue, then we'll throw the oldest stuff away when the 6th one come in, and again with the 7th, etc. So one of the great things about this compared to what we had with Windows Phone 8 was that, of course, now we have the same API set. It's really nice to be able to have one project with shared code, and again, I'll show you that in a second, but it makes things a lot simpler. I don't have to keep two apps going. I just have a shared library, basically. What else we're getting on the phone side, at least, which Windows already had, was that now you can do raw to wake a task, what I was talking about at the beginning. You can just wake up some code and do what you want as a result of a push notification, and that's been needed on phone for a long time. We have got significantly increased reliability. If you were ever an NPM developer, I am sure at some point you will have cursed that service because it did need a lot of work. We're still doing work on NPM to make it better for those phones that haven't updated from 8.0 to 8.1, but it did have reliability problems, and we have gotten a lot better on it. But even WNS is still much, much more reliable and faster than NPM is. So as phones upgrade from 8.0 to 8.1, because of the fact that we're using the WNS stack underneath, we get improved reliability for free. Everything goes through WNS, and it's much, much better. WNS is significantly more scaled, significantly better geolocated. It has a lot more presences in different countries. So getting phones onto 8.1 really helps them with their notification connectivity. We do get a better per-type offline queue compared to what we had with NPM. What I talked about, the 5 tiles, 1 raw, and 5 toasts is a better policy, and they're held for longer than they are in NPM. And just the end-to-end delivery it's much snappier on WNS. And one of the ones that is really good for most people is that you don't have to manage certificates anymore. With OAuth, it's a nice simple exchange for a token. With NPM for authenticated, you had to do certificate management, and that was not fun. That's one of the key reasons that people have actually started moving to WNS is because they don't like doing the certificate management, keeping those up to date every year. It's painful for people. So, some key differences from .NET and NPM. If you came from this world, there are some things you need to know about. You should always request a completely new URI at app launch. You should always make sure that you're just calling the same API request notification channel for application async every time the app comes into the foreground. Renew your URI periodically. They do expire after 30 days. This only applies to apps that are actually using WNS, not the MPN apps that are running on 8.1 that have WNS under the covers. So on the WNS side of the world, after 30 days, URIs expire, but you can run a maintenance task every 2, 3, 15 days, whatever you want to do, that updates your URI and gets a new one. So the expiration shouldn't really be a problem. OAuth requires app identity in the store, which, like I said, for line of business apps, sometimes they do get worried about the fact that they have to go to the store portal and register. But you don't ever have to publish the app, and we'll never take away that name and that identity. We'll always let you use those. So for now, that's the best solution we have, and we're working on doing more for that in the future. And one really good point is that you can use the app identity, the SID and the secret that I talked about. You can use those across apps. So your phone app and your desktop app, those line of business apps can have the same SID and secret, and you can then only have one app registered in the portal and then use them across both. And I'll actually show that working in a minute in the demo. So let's do it. Okay, if it's hard to see, move up, because there's plenty of seats, you guys. So I'll just take you through this stuff real quick. So one of the things I wanted to show you is the structure of this project. So really what you're looking at on the right side is a typical universal application. And most of the stuff gets built for you as you start a new app. So I'm going to show you what I did. File new project, as all good people do when they really start developing. It's really embarrassing that it starts in Visual Basic. I don't use Visual Basic, you guys, I promise. I don't know why it always starts up in Visual Basic. So go to C#, go to Store Apps, go to Universal Apps, and what I did to create this one was just this blank app. It's just going to create basically the Windows Phone project, the Windows project, and then the shared component as well that goes along with both of them. So that's what I did to create the base structure of this project. So that's what gave me these three here. And let me do this while I'm thinking about it so I don't mess it up in the demo later. And then I've got a couple other things in this app that you'll notice. I've got something called a push library and a raw push background task. And both of these are shared code. I'm calling these from both the Windows Phone project and the Windows project. And I want to show you what I did for those. So again, add to solution, new project. And again, it tries to trick me into using Visual Basic. Store apps, universal apps, and then there's two things that I did here. This class library is what this is. That's what I use to share the common push code. For example, how to get the URIs in that class library. I'll show you in a second. And then there's a Windows runtime component which makes up the push background task. And again, it's a shared background task. Both the phone app and the Windows app use the same background task. It's the same set of code. So those are the two other additional things I added to the project. And now I'm just going to take you through a little more of the setup of what's in those. So inside the shared library that both of these use to get their channel is pretty simple two things that it does. One, it calls that API I told you about, create push notification channel for application async. And then other than that, it basically just handles the notification type for me. So it's registering some delegates based on the notification type that comes in. So if it hears that it got a raw notification or a toast or a tile, et cetera, it knows that and it takes different actions depending on what type of notification came into the background task. Now, the other thing I did in the background task itself is really just a bunch of registration code. All this thing really does is register itself to run, say, hey, I'm the background task for this application. And it's also doing an actual toast notification when it gets a raw. So the way I'm going to demo this in a minute is I'm going to be sending raw notifications, and it's going to convert them into toast notifications, just like I talked about. Send a raw, do the processing you need to, and then if you want to show toasts, pop a local toast notification, which is what this is basically doing. Okay, makes sense? So let's actually get it running and see how it works. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to run actually the Windows side of this. So that's why I set that startup project to be the Windows project, because when I go to debug. So I'm clearly a wizard in UI. It's beautiful, I know. I don't want to get any accolades for how gorgeous it is. I'm going to click the initialize button, and this is going to call that common library. It's actually going to get me the URI. So you can see I broke into what's actually the push sample, which is the common library, and it went out and it did create push notification channel for application async. And here's my URI down here in the output. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm actually going to copy that. And I'm going to go over to my fancy server. Let me just snap this over. Come on, window. Snap this over here. And I'm going to send a notification to this guy. Now, I haven't enabled the background task for this app yet. So remember, this is just now that it's in the foreground, I'm sending this raw notification. And you can see the SID and secret here. I'm not going to change those for the whole demo. They're always going to be the same SID and secret. The only thing I'm really going to change is the channel URI itself. Okay? So let's do send push. I'm sending a raw. It's going to say hello world. And, you know, God willing, it's going to show up right there. So it snaps, so you can't quite see it, but it says hello world. So that was because I haven't turned the background task on now. So now let's do that. Let's actually turn the background task for this application on. So you can see this is again going to shared code. This is that push background task. So that's this guy right here. And this is basically just saying register me. So it's done registering. I'm just going to let it continue. Nothing's going to happen until I actually send the notification. What's going to change this time is instead of showing up in the app, it's going to actually go to the background task and pop a toast. So let's do that. So again, you see the toast popped up here. I broke into my background task. It ran this task instance, and what it did was it went and it grabbed the content of the notification from the raw. So I put hello world in the trigger details. I can get that out because I woke up my background task and passed that. And then I just build up a toast, a local toast notification, and then show that toast, which lets me get that UI. And this is actually the part I was looking forward to because, oh no, the toast popped up on the screen and it disappeared, and what am I going to do? I can't see it anymore except for the fact that now in Windows 10, we have a notification center. Hopefully that's not news to anybody, but it just makes me really, really happy because this is something we've been getting feedback for in a while with Windows 8. And now at least there's somewhere for those notifications to go whenever you've missed them or you've haven't had a chance to see them in time. So the Action Center is there in Windows 10. It's not going to look like this when we're done, but this is the beginnings of it, and all your notifications do go in there. So that is basically the end of the Windows side of the demo. So I'm going to switch over now, stop debugging. And we're going to go move to the phone side. And the whole point of doing this is to really prove that I haven't cheated. This is all the same code. So let me go deploy this guy to the emulator. So again, as soon as the application launched, I did what I said you should do and always create or get a channel. Again, it's in that shared library. So that's actually coming out of this guy that I'm getting the channel in. Broke into the exact same point in the code. So there's the output of my URI right here. Just do what I did before and copy it over to my website. And again, I'm only changing the URI. The SID and the secret are the same. All the server code is the same. I'm just going to give it a different URI because it's a different device. I'm going to send it hello world. But in this app, again, I haven't registered for the background task. So since the app's in the foreground, the notification is going to come through. So it broke into that shared push component again. This is in the foreground app. This is what I sent, hello world, because the app is in the foreground and I hadn't registered the task. This is what you get to see. Now, if I actually enable the background task, once again, the shared code, all the same code in that register background task method. And if I send another notification, this time, I'm going to go ahead and leave the app. Okay. And hit send. And now I'm going to get a toast notification. Please. There it is. So it woke up the raw background task. It did a local notification just like before, and it used all the same shared code. And of course, now it's showing up in the Action Center on the phone. So not only can you see from this that we've got the converged API surface, which we introduced in 8.1, also you can see that, you know, with the future coming for both the Windows and Windows Phone platform, we're converging some of the experiences as well. Now in both cases, I've got notifications that can come in, share the code, and if those notifications get missed, there's an Action Center that I can actually see those notifications inside of. And it's only going to get better as we continue to roll out preview versions of Windows 10. There's going to be more and more features coming to that entire story. So that's it for that part of the demo. I have some other things around ghost toast and using tags and groups on phone side notifications. I think I'm actually going to save that stuff to the end. If people are interested in the phone side of the story and how that works, I'll be happy to talk through it. But I just want to make sure I get through all the content before we get too specific. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about something we call Silverlight 8.1 on Windows Phone. So if you were already a phone developer and you had already written Silverlight applications up until this point, but you want to use the new stuff in the converged code base for WNS, we wanted you to have an option to do that. We know it's important that you don't have to rewrite everything all the time, and so this is going to help you protect that investment if you've already got phone code out there today and give you a chance to get all the new features. If you were to take your Silverlight 8.1 application, you would get new tile templates, new toast templates. You could get Action Center, the ability to change things in Action Center. You'd get raw to wake a task, which I just showed, and you'd get WNS. So you'd basically get a great migration path to moving off of Silverlight eventually because all of your notification code would be WinRT code. It would be what's in the new Windows 8.1 WinRT API surface. So this is a great stepping stone to let you keep your existing Silverlight investment in your UI but let you migrate your notifications code to something else. So again, you can call all the 181, all the 811 RT notification APIs. You basically go into Visual Studio, update or upgrade your project, and then there is one little tricky gotcha. You have to go into the new old Windows Phone app manifest and enable WNS. So you have to actually tell it, no, look, I'm trying to make my project use WNS now because previously it would have been using MPN. The really, really important thing to remember is that you can't mix these two feature sets. If you want to do a tile, a toast, or a push notification of any kind, do not mix the two namespaces. Don't try and use something from the .NET API surface for notifications on the same alongside with something in the OneRT API surface for notifications, because it won't work well. Some of the stuff works okay, but it's really kind of undefined what's going to happen, because the platform itself isn't enforcing rules. It's just provisioning the application based on what notification service you set. There's a very explicit list on MSDN of what namespaces fit in one camp and what namespaces fit in the other. So as long as you make sure that you follow that guidance, you won't end up crossing those two streams. Now, line of business apps are in an interesting situation. So for WNS with a Windows Phone AppX or a Windows Phone Silverlight app, what I just talked about, you're fully able to use WNS. So that means you can use all the new code, all the WinRT stuff. For Windows Runtime Phone app, so this is basically a fully modern app that has not got any Silverlight 8.1, it's not legacy, that you want to sideload, you can't actually use WNS because of the signing process that we have in place today. So the recommendation there is to use a Windows Phone 8.1 app, that use that transition path until we get this fixed. We're actively working on fixing this. So letting your Windows Phone 8.1 app, AppX, be able to use WNS is a problem that we're trying to actually fix right now. And we're going to try and do that on the server side. If you have questions about this table, come see me afterwards. I can give you more detailed information. And if you have a large deployment of things that you're trying to work on that you need a Windows Phone app to use WNS on that needs to be sideloaded, please come see me as well, because we might be able to help you out and do something about it in the short term. Let's talk a little bit about toast notifications. So the converged toast notification world is actually a very simple story. There's about 8 different templates that you can use for toast notifications in the WNS world. And on the left is what they look like on Windows, and they all get converted into one template on Windows Phone. Obviously, we're actively working on this. This isn't going to stay this way forever. But for right now, between Windows Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1, Windows 8.1 has more flexibility in toast templates. There's a couple things I wanted to talk about Action Center. So because we have Action Center on Windows Phone, there's certain things a user gets to do now that they couldn't do before. They get a list of notifications in Action Center, and they can chase those individual notifications. This applies to Windows 10 as well now, so anything that shows up in Action Center, obviously you can use it to launch into the original intent that it had for the application. You can remove an entire group of notifications. So you can say, I want to remove a group of whatever you've tagged them with. And you can clear all notifications. So a user actually has a button at the top. We have this both in Phone and in Windows 10 now, where there's a button that says clear all, and it just wipes everything out of Action Center. So that's the user experience that we've got roughly converged across both. Now, on the developer experience side for Action Center, right now, this only applies to Phone. It doesn't apply to Windows 10 yet. So you can remove notifications as a developer. You can take a notification out of Action Center that you've already put in there. For example, you had something that was only on sale for the next 24 hours, and when it's done, you want to remove it manually, you could pull it out. Or that thing that you had on sale actually sold out, and you just want to take it off of people's Action Center so they don't get upset about not being able to buy the thing that sold out. You can replace notifications with a new one. Like if you want to send hourly stock quotes and you only ever have one notification in your notification center for Microsoft, you can just have it replace it. You do that with tag and group. And you can set things to expire. You know that 8 hours from now, this notification is no longer going to be valid. You just have it disappear 8 hours from now by setting the expiration time on the notification. And you can do that locally and through push. They both support the ability to add expiration time. Now, Ghost Toast is something that we introduced in Windows Phone that's actually really, really useful, and we're seeing it used more and more and more. Actually, apps are getting really creative with Ghost Toast. Ghost Toast is a notification that is just suppressed. So instead of it visually showing up to the user, it silently inserts itself into Action Center. And you still get the notification at the very top of your screen, the small icon that says you have new things in Action Center, but it doesn't actually show the banner that you would usually have. When we originally thought about this, we thought it was things like social notification, missed VoIP calls. But I've actually got an app that I've been using since I've been in Barcelona that's really, really handy for this. I have a 300 meg data plan that I bought for international roaming from AT&T. And I want to be able to turn that roaming on, that data on and off. I'm kind of managing it myself because I don't want to use too much data. And there's an app that will pop a notification into my action center that is a shortcut into the cellular settings page. And every time I tap that notification, what it really does is it very quickly launches his app, but you can't tell. And then it does a forward navigate to a protocol that lets me go into the settings page. And because it launches his app every time, it's able to repopulate the notification. So basically, I've always got a notification at the very top of my action center that lets me quickly go into the cellular settings and turn off the data connection. It's a creative thing to use it for. I never would have thought of that myself. And it's pretty handy for me, at least right now. So I'm sure there's a lot of other ways you can use Ghost Toast. That's just one way people have thought of. Tiles and templates. So there's a lot of tile templates. And for the most part, these are also supported across Windows and Windows Phone. Basically, the tile templates today are a variation of multiple different themes. You see that some of them are about showing pictures in different layouts. Some of them are about having some bold text. Some of them are about having multiple lines or columns of text. And for the most part, those are all supported between Windows and Windows Phone. They're laid out a little differently between the two sometimes, but there is a kind of a visual representation of that on MSDN that shows you what the differences between the UIs look like whenever these are used. So it's a pretty consistent experience between Windows and Windows Phone. The tile template catalog link is here. There are some exceptions. So Windows Phone will never break if you send it a tile that we don't support, but it might not actually drop it. It might actually show it. For example, the large tiles that you have on Windows, you can, if you want to have converged code on your server and you just always want to send this along with the other tile sizes, that's fine. Windows Phone won't break if you send that, but we'll never be able to show it because we just don't have an affordance in the UI to have something that big show up on the screen. So you can keep sending the same payloads to Windows and Windows Phone, but Windows Phone just won't be able to actually show this one in the start screen. Conversely, there's a different tile template for Phone that lets you do what we used to call these iconic notifications. We have this unique template. Windows doesn't. You can send this to Windows as well, and it won't hurt anything. It will just ignore it. That way, you can actually have one big payload that you send to both Windows and Windows Phone. Windows Phone will ignore the large tile template, for example, and then Windows would ignore the iconic tile template. But at least on the different devices, if a user just resizes to those sizes, they do get supported. So, how can you send tiles? The most common way to send a tile is locally. Either your app is running or you've woken up a background task and then you've actually set the tile. This is just the quick, easy, dirty tile update you can do whenever the app's in the foreground. Scheduled tiles are for doing something at a specific date and time. If you're having a fire sale of some kind and you really want to know or you really want to have something, you know, show up at a specific date and time on the user's tile to entice them, you can use a scheduled tile notification. You'll notice that it expires after 3 days. All the notification types that aren't local, that aren't invoked directly from app code, have a default expiration of 3 days because we want to make sure that that tile content is kept fresh by you. If you want to schedule it again, just wake up a background task and schedule it again if you need to. If you don't want it to expire, wake up a background task and do a local notification because then it'll never go away. Periodic is by doing something on a periodic basis. You can pull a URI every so often to get a new tile. And then finally, push is to do immediate tile updates. Push is the kind of most real-time mechanism you can get. It's even more real-time than using the local tile updates because your app's not always guaranteed to be running in the foreground. So if you need a tile update to happen for sure on a user's device, just using a push notification is the best way to make sure it happens at a specific time. And again, like I said, it's getting more and more common to just send a raw notification to wake up your task and then do a tile update. So all update mechanisms use the same payload. Sorry, that got cut off. They use basically the same XML format. So you can see I've given a quick example here of how I would send both a square tile and a wide tile. That's just different bindings inside the visual. So you just can do multiple bindings. I could have done square. I could have done wide. I could have done large. I could have done the Windows Phone iconic one. All of these could have been inside the same payload. From the phone side, this was really good stuff because it's identical to Windows and that gives us brand new stuff on phone. So it's nice to be able to have all the advanced features that the Windows side of the platform had also be supported on the phone. I just talked about a couple of these. The periodic polling, the scheduled updates, the tile notification queue. You've noticed on Windows before that there are multiple things can scroll across your tile. We can do that on phone now as well. We didn't have support for expiration before and we do now. And of course, more templates means more flexibility. That was one of the big things developers wanted. The notification simulation engine is where we made improvements for people who said that making my developers on the server side always send real notifications to test this stuff is hard, or making my own local kind of unit test to test how my tile or toast looks is hard. Because it was cumbersome, and it could also, in the WNS case, require store registration, which was something phone didn't require in the past, we wanted to see what we could do here. And so, since we believe at Microsoft great tools are in our DNA from a Visual Studio perspective, we worked with the Visual Studio team to create something called the Notification Simulation Engine. What this is an additional tool on the Windows Phone emulator for now, and it will eventually be coming to Windows as well, is that we have a way for you to do everything you can do with notifications without actually having to send a push or wake up a background task. Basically, this thing tricks the phone into thinking that it's a server, a push server. And so you can do everything from toast to tiles. It even works for MPN. So if you're just struggling with MPN still because you want to maintain your Windows Phone 8 app and you need a way to test notifications, it works for MPN notifications as well. So any notification you can send to a Windows Phone device, you can use the simulation engine to actually do. So what did we get? Everybody asked for one platform. I think I've successfully proved that it's definitely one platform. We're asked to improve MPN, and we're still improving MPN. MPN is getting better. We're making sure that we continue to invest in it in other countries, especially in Asia, for Windows Phone 8 devices that aren't upgraded yet. But we're also improving MPN by making sure that if you're running on an 8.1 device, you're actually going through WNS. So even though you're using the MPN APIs, which you feel free to continue to do for a while if you want to, you'll actually be using WNS on an 8.1 device. The tooling gaps that I talked about, making it easier to test notifications, is where the simulation engine comes in. Notification Center, I'm really excited that I can say that that's in both places now. So you've actually got Action Center both on desktop and on phone, and those experiences are starting to converge. And then the flexibility with the new tile templates, the new toast templates, just the ability for you to send one payload or one notification with a lot of different payloads for a tile, for example, and have that work on both phone and on Windows. So, resources, I don't want to go all through all of these right now. The thing that they asked me to do is to get to the QR code, and please feel free to evaluate the session. And then I'm happy to take questions. I think we've got some mics, so if you've got a question, put your hand up, stand up, whatever you want to do, and we'll talk through the questions.
Hi.
Is
it possible to have...
A little louder, sorry, I can't quite hear you.
Is it possible to have the WNS server also on-site? As there are some customers, they just want to avoid that some traffic is going outside, as they are completely isolated, like governments or police or something like that.
So the question was kind of, can I have an on-premise WNS server of some kind that my organization would own? And the answer is right now, no, we can't do that. We're looking at ways that might be accomplished, but I don't have anything like public that I can share. I'd love to know, governments are obvious to me, that one makes sense, but if you have other examples afterwards, maybe you could let me know or send me mail. My email is tfennel, T-F-E-N-N-E-L, at Microsoft.com. I'd love to have a conversation about that a little more and just learn, like, if that was something that we were doing in the future, what would be the best solution for some of those customers that you've got? Thank you. Any other questions? No? Barclay, you don't have anything? No? Okay. I appreciate you guys coming and your patience. Have a great rest of your time at TechEd.